7. Barbara Mahler lay in bed, half asleep. From an open window, the sun streamed across her body, across the bed covers, her pajamas, onto the floor. Suddenly, she threw the covers back, away from her. She stretched out, her legs wide apart, her arms at her sides. The warmth of the sun made her sleepy. It was a good feeling. She sighed, twisting a little in the bed to get all of herself under the warm rays. After a bit, she sat up and slipped off the top of her pajamas. She tossed it onto the chair and lay back again, her mouth open, her eyes shut. The thick beams of the sun pulsed against her shoulders and breasts. She could feel the heat moving across her body like a living thing. It had a strange touch, the sunlight on her naked body. It filled her with excitement. Inside her, something seemed to stir, responding to the sun. She wondered how it felt to have a life inside her, down in her belly. How would an unborn child feel, crawling and expanding, moving, twisting, reaching out? A living child, breathing, moving toward the light, like a plant. Plants did that. What was it called? Phototropism? Something like that. She opened her eyes and looked up at the sun, but the light blinded her. She turned her head away. Perhaps people were like plants. Perhaps they were phototropic. That might explain the sun goddesses. Perhaps there was something of the sun goddess in her. She turned back, leaning toward the light, twisting up to meet it. Outside, the level land of the company grounds stretched out in all directions. She could see no motion, no movement of any kind. She gazed at the buildings, the towers, the silent heaps of rusting metal and slag. The world was deserted. All mankind had fled. She was alone. Barbara stood up on the bed, swaying from side to side as the springs gave under her feet. Reaching down to her waist, she unfastened the pajama bottoms and let them slide down to her ankles. Standing naked in the warmth, she raised her arms above her. Was that what they did? Was that it? She tried to remember what she knew about the Aztecs. Was it the Incas? Some South American tribe. And they tore out the hearts of people and cast them up to the sun. She smiled. That was too much. She could not do that. She could not give her heart up to the sun, even if she wanted to. It was impossible. The sun would have to be satisfied with something else. She put her hands under her breasts and lifted them up, up toward the sun. She would present her breasts to the sun instead. What would happen? Would the sun accept them? Would the sun make her breasts grow and expand? They might swell and expand and finally burst like ripe seed pods. She looked down at them. They had not changed. They were still full and round, the breasts of a mature woman. She laughed. They were large enough as it was. She stepped down from the bed onto the floor. After she had dressed, she walked downstairs and outside onto the front porch. She stood for a moment and then started down the steps onto the path. Soon she was walking toward the commissary. After a few minutes, she saw a figure coming toward her, walking from the opposite direction. It was Carl. She could see his blonde hair shining in the sunlight.
"Hello, Miss Mahler!"
Carl called. She waited for him, stopping. "Hello." He came up to her, grinning from ear to ear. How old was he? Not more than 20 or 21, she thought. He must be coming to get me. In another minute, he would have gone along the path to the dormitory and seen me standing at the window, naked. She blushed, her face turning scarlet. He was just a baby. What would he have thought? It was a good thing she had not stayed there any longer.
"It's a nice day,"
Carl said.
"Yes, very nice."
What would he have thought if he had seen her, standing there by the window? Would he have been ashamed? Of course. He would have run quickly away, his eyes shut tight. He would have run on and on. She was delighted, thinking of this, of the boy running away, his face red and burning. She smiled.
"What is it?"
Carl said, worried. Barbara laughed outright. Carl was frowning at her, puzzled and a little alarmed. What a child he was. There was so little of that left in the world, a boy who ran and hid himself. Perhaps he would have to be taken by the hand sometime.
Are you all right? Carl said. Oh, yes.
Had she been that shy at 21? No. At 21, she had already been at Castle and then at New York with Vern. Looking at the blonde boy standing uncertainly in front of her, Barbara began to think back. The memory of herself at 20 moved up and around her, slowly at first, then faster and faster. It was a tide carrying her away from the present, rushing her back into the past, back to Castle and Vern Tilden. When Penny had suggested she ride back with Vern Tilden, she was outraged. On the way back to the cabin, she told her so.
But after all, Penny said, I don't see what you're so excited about. What could happen to you? I suppose you're afraid you'll get raped or something.
Barbara raised her voice.
I don't want to hear about it. I'll get home all right without help from men I don't even know. You're just afraid you'll get raped. I wouldn't be surprised if you wanted to get raped. They say old maids are like that.
Barbara was furious.
Old maid? What do you mean? Just because you're getting married? I'm just teasing you, honey.
Penny put her arms around the girl.
My God, kid, you're only 20. You're not even grown up yet. You know what they'd call you? As far as they're concerned, you're San Quentin Quail. You're under the legal age. You're out of bounds. There's nothing to worry about. I wasn't worrying about that. I just don't like the idea of riding all the way back with strangers. It's so unfriendly. Why can't we all go back together? You know, honey, we don't have enough money. And if we don't have money, we can't go on the bus. We have enough for 2 bus fares, but not 3. Of course, you and Felix could go back on the bus, and I could go with Tilden. Or you and I could go back on the bus, and Felix could go back with Tilden. Maybe that would be safest. Tilden doesn't look like the kind who would molest Felix. Anyhow, Felix would hit him over the head.
I'd hate to see you and Felix separated. I know how much you want to go back together.
Well, think it over for a while, Penny considered. There's one thing you might do.
What's that?
Why don't you get to know this Tilden fellow a little better? Maybe you might like him. He should be pretty interesting. He has some kind of jazz program back in New York.
He told me.
Well, you're a jazz fan. Go over and visit him. It won't hurt you.
I don't think I want to.
You never want to do anything.
Well, goddamn it. Do I always have to do what you want? Can I not do things? Can I just be?
Sure, honey.
Penny took her arm.
Come on inside the cabin. It's time to turn in. And don't worry. Everything will turn out all right.
Barbara sat alone in the cabin. It was evening. Penny had gone. She and Felix had walked over to visit with some people. Sitting alone in the cabin, with Lawrence's sons and lovers on her lap, she imagined that she was happy. Was she really? She put the book down on the bed and stood by the window, listening to the sound of the ocean. It was a familiar sound. She had lived near it all her life. It was like the wind or the rain, an eternal presence, a natural being that was always there. But tonight the sound of the water made her feel restless. Why was it always there? Why was it eternal? Whatever happened to people, whatever happened to her, it made no difference to the ocean. Suppose she were some sort of little creature caught in the surf, pounded back and forth, beaten to death against the rocks. Back and forth, up and down, until every bit of shell and bone had been broken and hammered to a pulp. Did that happen to the little sea things? Sometimes she saw them, washed up on the beach in the morning. Was that how they died? She thought about it. Perhaps a little sea thing would not even be aware of the ocean, the movements of the tide. While she was meditating, Vern Tilden came up on the porch and knocked. She could not imagine who it was. She opened the door, and he came into the cabin. Hello, Barbara. How are you? She regarded him uncertainly.
I remember now. You're Vern. What did you want? Penny and Felix are gone. They went over to see some people.
Well, I wouldn't worry. He sat down on a hard chair and leaned back. He was so little and strange. How old would he be? Over 30, certainly. Perhaps 33 or 4. His eyes, magnified by his glasses, blinked up at her owlishly.
Why not worry?
She said. Vern shrugged. I can talk to you instead, if you don't mind. Do you mind?
No, I guess not.
Then I'll talk to you. Well, what sort of person are you, Miss Mahler? Barbara Mahler? Barbara? I always like to know what kind of person I'm talking to.
I don't know what you mean.
Vern got up and came over toward her. He was studying her so intently, like one of her professors back in school. What would this man be like as a teacher? He wore a rough, heavy coat and smoked a pipe. She tried to imagine him with a dog. No, he was not big enough. The dog would pull him along. She smiled, thinking of this. One of his eyebrows went up. Well, you're not so goddamn serious after all. She felt her cheeks grow red.
Let's cut that out.
He was frankly appraising her, looking her up and down.
Stop it. What do you think I am? Something hanging up in a window for sale?
If you were, how much would it cost? And he added, do you think I'd pay it? She did not understand. He seemed to be kidding her, but she could not tell.
He was puzzling.
A little dried-up, wrinkled man with horn-rimmed glasses.
You're an elf, she said suddenly. A strange little elf, just like in my storybook.
For a moment, she thought she had hurt his feelings, because he seemed to scowl. But apparently she was wrong. He bowed deeply, with great solemnity.
Thank you.
As he bowed, his face had come close to hers. She caught the smell of liquor. He was drunk. No, not drunk exactly, but he had been drinking. That was why he was so lively. Suddenly she felt afraid. She backed away. What's the matter? Do you think I'm going to put a hex on you? Turn you into a pumpkin?
No.
He walked around the little kitchen of the cabin, pulling open the cupboards. He peered inside them. Got anything to drink?
To drink?
His mouth fell open. You mean you've never heard of such a thing? He closed the cupboards.
Young woman, how old are you?
He put his hands on his hips. The corners of his mouth twitched as he glared in mock astonishment.
I'm 24,
Barbara murmured.
Why?
24? Really? And you never heard there was something beside eating and sleeping and... He broke off.
Maybe you never heard of that either. Heard of what?
She was confused. Forget it. He came up and put his hand on her shoulder.
My dear young lady, perhaps it is time some older, more experienced person, wise in the ways of the world, introduced you to a certain practice, the indulgence of which,
in which, is the producer of the most gratifying results. He paused. What I am saying is this. How about walking over to a bar with me and having a drink? I promise to pay for the drink in the event that you do not care to finish it, assuming that I may have what is left, of course. She did not know what to do. She thought about it, her heart beating. He was so strange. He was partly drunk, but she could not tell just how much. He considered her a child. She could see that. He was teasing her. How much older he was than Felix or Penny. This would be the first time she would be going out without them. It was not the same, going to a bar with them for a beer. This was different. She could not make up her mind.
I'll have to think it over.
He leaped to attention. All right. I'll come back in late October to find out what you decided.
Well, wait a minute.
She hesitated.
I can leave a note for Felix and Penny.
Would that make you feel better?
I really should leave a note.
All right. You go ahead. I'll be outside. He pushed the door open and went out on the porch. The door closed loudly behind him. Barbara hurried around the room until she found a pencil and a scrap of paper. She wrote,
Penny, I've gone out with Vern Tilden. I'll be back later on. Don't worry about me.
She got a thumbtack and put the note up on the wall, over the bed. Then she took her coat and went outside. Vern was sitting on the porch steps, smoking his pipe. He glanced up. So, you decided to come? Well, let's go. Taking her arm, he led her down the road. The first bar they came to was a small wood place with high stools and sawdust on the floor. The jukebox was playing loudly. They could see a few people inside, drinking and sitting. "How would this be?" Vern said.
"It looks all right."
They went in and sat down at a table. When the bartender came over, Vern ordered 2 scotch and waters.
"I don't like scotch and water,"
Barbara said after the man was gone. "It's the only thing to drink. All those mixed drinks with sugar make you sick, like pink ladies. You stick to a straight drink like scotch and water and you won't get sick afterwards."
"Are we going to drink that much?"
"What much?"
"That we might get sick."
"That's what I'm talking about," Vern said, trying to be patient. "That's why I want to stick to scotch and water. Isn't that right, Charlie?"
The bartender agreed, setting the drinks down on the table. Vern paid and the man left. Barbara lifted her slowly and tasted it.
"That's good blended scotch," Vern said. "I saw what he was using. Walker's Deluxe."
"It tastes more like gasoline,"
Barbara said, making a face.
"Phooey."
She put her glass down. Vern drank deeply. He sighed.
"Ah,
that's it."
"What?"
"The breath of life."
"I guess you can develop a taste for it."
"So I've heard."
Vern drank more. Barbara sat, listening to the jukebox and the sounds of the people all around them.
"This is a nice place. Sort of warm."
"Yes, it is. Very nice."
He seemed less talkative. He had calmed down. He did not make as much noise as before. He sat peering into his glass, turning it around and around, his glasses pushed up a little.
"What are you thinking about?" Barbara said.
"What?"
"What are you thinking about? You haven't said anything for a while."
"Oh, nothing. I was just moldering."
"It's strange to be here. I haven't been here very long. It was hard to get away. I almost didn't get here. I had to promise to go right back."
"Your job?"
He nodded.
"That too."
"How long have you been here?"
2 weeks. 2 weeks, and now it's over. Back to the old grind and everything else."
"You're leaving? When?"
"Later tonight."
"So soon?"
"We're taking off tonight, Bill and I."
"Bill?"
"You haven't met him. He's the person I'm taking along. I still haven't found a third rider. Bill is an old friend. You might like him. Maybe we'll see him later on. He's around town someplace."
"What kind of person is he?"
"Plays piano in a band back in New York. Bill Herndon is his name. Maybe you've heard of him. Does a lot of arranging."
"No, but I don't."
"This is progressive jazz."
"You told me you're interested in it."
There was silence. Vern finished his drink. He waved the bartender over.
2 more of the same."
Barbara started to protest, but the bartender was already gone with what remained of her drink.
"How do you know I want another? Maybe I've had enough."
"Everybody wants another. It's part of life."
"Maybe I don't want to drink anymore."
"You're still sober, aren't you?"
"Is that what we're drinking for? To get drunk?"
"Oh, get off it,"
he scowled at her.
"Put your goddamn soapbox away."
Her heart thudded. She became quiet.
"Sorry."
He removed his glasses and polished them. "You can leave any time you want." Without his glasses, he looked like a little child. He peered up at her, nearsightedly. There were great circles around his eyes, like rings.
"What is it?"
Barbara said.
"I see you're still here."
"You don't have to be so nasty."
She watched him put his glasses back on. His hands seemed to be shaky and nervous. The bartender brought the drinks and Vern paid for them. He lifted his glass.
"Here's 2.
Vern drank quickly. Barbara took a swallow. This one did not seem to be so strong. She managed to drink almost as much as he did this time. She felt a faint glow of excitement begin to form inside her.
"It's not so bad,"
she said. The sensations of the room increased. She found herself more aware of the warmth and the sounds of voices. She noticed the colors of the bar, the glasses, the wood, the lights of the jukebox. She leaned forward to speak, but before she could start, she found Vern already talking.
"And there never was such a one again," he was saying slowly.
What had he said? She had not heard the first part.
She started to ask him to repeat it, but all at once he was gone. She blinked. What had happened to him? He was at the bar. He came slowly back to the table, carrying two glasses with great care. He set them down on the table with a bump.
There,
he said, sighing. Barbara took her drink.
Thank you.
Not at all. She sipped her drink. It did not seem to have any taste at all, but it was cold. She liked that. The room was too warm. She concentrated on the coldness.
How long?
Fern said. Barbara rubbed her forehead. The room was so hot, she was having trouble breathing.
What?
How long have you been up here?
She focused carefully on his face. The ashtray was filled with cigarette stubs. She shook her head wearily. Lord, for some fresh air. She stood up.
What's the matter? Vern said.
It's so close.
What?
The room.
She was standing by the door, but Vern was between her and the door. A man and woman pushed past them, coming inside. Cold air blew around her.
Be reasonable,
Vern said. He raised his hand, finger extended admonishingly. She giggled, covering her face so he would not see.
What are you laughing at?
At you,
Barbara said.
Me?
He helped her sit down. She was having trouble with the chair.
Thank you.
Vern's breath blew against her face. The room revolved slowly. She put her head in her hands and waited. When she looked up again, the room had come to rest. As she drank, she talked.
We came up, the three of us.
She was not sure.
A few weeks ago, Felix and Penny and me.
How did you come?
By bus. We have two cabins. I live in one. Felix and Penny live in the other.
She felt sudden horror. What had she said?
Penny and I live in one, I mean, together. I didn't mean that, what I said.
Why not?
Because she doesn't go walking. I know.
Barbara felt suddenly sad.
I know.
She wiped at her eyes. Her tongue was thick. Her lips seemed frozen, like when she had her tooth out once.
I know.
Vern patted her hand.
It happens to the best people.
Am I one of the best people?
He nodded.
Really?
She felt a little better.
But I know. She never tells me anything, but when she comes back, she's warm all over. And the smell, I can tell, like an animal. It's like animals, pungent, like musk all over her.
The best people get to Earth that way.
Do they?
Didn't you know?
I guess I knew. Is it wrong to know things? Things like that? Does everybody know?
Yes, everybody knows.
It was true, she realized. Everybody knew but her. She was alone. She pulled back, away from the table. She was cut off. The noise, the sounds, the warmth of the room, it was beyond her, away from her, another world. She could not reach it.
I want to be together,
she said.
How do you mean?
Not like now. Not on the edge. Not like I was. Don't you remember?
I remember.
I was sitting on the edge, so far off, by myself. But you came over.
Yes.
Why did you come over?
Vern considered.
To meet you.
Did you want to meet me?
He nodded. Barbara leaned forward.
Why?
She waited, tense. It was very important. She felt numb all over, waiting.
Why, Vern? Why?
You looked nice.
She settled back in the chair.
I was glad he came over. It's a long way.
She tried to explain.
I mean, for me. Perhaps not for you. But it seems so far to me. Penny and Felix are going to get married when we go back. Everything's arranged.
That's nice.
I know. Have you ever been married?
He was scowling.
Yes.
Why are you scowling?
No reason.
Don't you like marriage?
It depends.
I'm glad they're getting married. But I wish, if only.
What do you wish?
I I don't know.
She was silent for a long time. An age passed, an immense measure of time. At last, she stirred. She felt heavy all over. With a great effort, she raised her eyes. Vern was waiting for her to go on. He had moved his chair very close to hers, not on the other side of the table at all. She looked down. He was holding on to her hand. Suddenly, tears rushed up into her eyes. She felt them running down her face, down her cheeks. He wiped them away with his necktie. That made her smile. Vern smiled back.
"Don't let go,"
she said.
"Please, don't let go. Promise you won't?"
"I won't." He smiled more, a funny little wrinkled smile, like a prune. She thought of a song, a record her father had played for her, the prune song. "I've never heard it," Vern said. Had she spoken out loud? It was hard to think. Now he was holding on to both her hands. She could feel him close by her.
"Do you understand?"
she said. He was nodding, so apparently he did. It made her feel better.
"I hope you do. It's all right for them. I hope it's wonderful. It will be wonderful, won't it?"
She sat in silence for a time, thinking about it. Again, she felt terribly lonely and sad. She was all by herself. There was no one with her, no one nearby. Vern had gone again. She sipped at her glass, but there was nothing left but ice in it. Suddenly, Vern was back. He was talking, but not to her. To whom, then? She started to get up, but all at once the room leaped up and began to twist slowly. She caught hold of the edge of the table to steady it. Vern looked at her sleepily. He had turned his chair sideways and was sitting, his legs crossed, playing with his tie.
"I feel funny,"
Barbara said. Her voice sounded as if it were coming from somebody else.
"If we leave at one, we'll never get across the highway approach," Vern was saying.
She blinked. Who was he talking to? To her? She looked around, but her head felt heavy and refused to turn. There was another man sitting at the table. He was all in black, his suit, his hat, his clothes, even his skin. He was a Negro. Her hand was touching something cold. She was setting down her glass. She did not remember picking it up. The Negro smiled and spoke. Who was he? It was Bill. Vern was saying so. Bill repeated something over and over again, looking intently at her. She nodded. What was the matter with him? He got up and left. He came back again. Her hand was cold. The glass, icy, drops of wet against her fingers. The glass was full. The glass was half empty. She was belching. She caught herself and pulled herself upright in the chair, looking around to see if anyone had noticed. Vern was gone. She could see him on the other side of the room talking to some people, hanging over the back of a chair. His feet were up. His soles needed mending. He was like a little child, a dried-up little elf. Why was he so small? Bill was huge. He was black all over, but he was a Negro. "Now it was time on my hands," she said. "Can't you play something else?" The man with the glasses said, "What do you want to hear?" She was on her feet. The room was moving slowly along like a carpet unrolling, or maybe one of those little red amusement carts. The bar swung over to her. She saw a woman with a big, wide face, and two men, bland, round, filling up in front of her. She tripped. Her hands were numb, aching with pain. One of them was going along her cheek, rubbing against her face. She got up. Vern said something, over and over again. Everything murmured and buzzed around her. Now it was cold. She was cold all over. It began with her feet and went up her legs, through her body and into her arms. She lifted her arm up slowly. A terrible wind caught it and pushed it back. There was a vibrating. Was it the ocean? The ocean made her restless. She could see nothing but darkness ahead of her. Something hard was pressing into her side. She felt for it. It seemed to be a rod of some kind. She felt fear. The rod would not move. She tore at the rod. Her nails cracked and bent. Then a hand closed over hers. Someone spoke. She forgot the rod. She was in a car. The car was moving. Wind roared about her. She was against the door. The voice was telling her that, warning her about something.
Then she was sitting at a counter, staring into a stack of pies. Each pie rested on a little wire rack. A man in a white costume opened a little door and took out one of the pies. It was an apple pie.
With ice cream?
Just plain, Vern said.
Just plain.
Everything was bright. Her head ached. Her whole body ached. She turned slowly. Vern was sitting on one side of her, wearing a heavy overcoat. She turned the other way. A large, good-looking Negro was sitting, drinking a cup of coffee.
Good morning, Miss Maller.
She stared at him. How did he know her name? He was smiling broadly. He said something more, but she could not make out the words.
Better, I hope,
Vern murmured. Barbara leaned forward and rested her head against the counter. Something seemed to be gurgling through her, crawling around inside her body. She got to her feet and stood by the stool with her knuckles against her face. The two men looked up at her, Bill with his coffee cup half lifted, Vern smoking a cigarette. Bill was watching her with a polite expression on his face, an expression of tolerance and understanding and amusement.
I'll be back.
She turned toward the counterman. He looked at her without expression.
It's over to the left, Vern murmured.
She walked unsteadily across the room and pushed open the door. Then she was hanging over the washbowl, violently sick. The only thing she could think of was, Vern was wrong. I am being sick. I am. Disgust at being sick filled her with misery. She pulled away from the bowl, drawing herself up. In the square mirror over the bowl, she saw her reflection. The gray face of a young woman vomiting stared back at her, the eyes partly closed with fatigue, the hair dry and stiff. She felt tears come, and she shut her eyes tight, squeezing them shut. The sight was blocked out. She felt better. After a time, she ran water into the bowl, cleaning it slowly. She ran the water over her hands and wrists and then rubbed her eyes. The water was cold. Her left hand stung. Barbara sat down on one of the toilets and wiped her eyes with her fingers. The tears trickled down along her wrists. She tried to make them stop. She did not want to cry. If she were to cry, things would be worse. She wanted to pull everything into her. She did not want to release anything. If only she could hold herself in, pull herself together, smaller and smaller. She rubbed her face clean and brushed at her dress. It was stained and rumpled. There was a bitter taste in her mouth and her nose. She blew her nose on a bit of the toilet paper. Presently, she went unsteadily back into the room again. Vern and Bill were gone. No one was at the counter. She gazed dully around. They were in a booth. She sat down next to Vern and stared at the napkin in front of her. She picked it up, twisting it with her fingers. She could see Vern's wristwatch buried in the hair on his arm at the end of his cuff. What time was it? 9 o'clock? It was after 9, almost 10. She looked through the window at the street outside. Sun was shining down, trees and people, a few cars parked, stores. A couple moved along, older people, well-dressed. She wondered where they were going. The cafe was almost empty. The counterman was at the back, washing dishes, turned away from them. He was a huge man with broad shoulders. He was whistling. She wished he would stop. She rubbed her face. Her skin was dry and rough. Her body felt sandy, as if sand had gotten into all her joints and was making them stick and grind. She did not want to move. Everything in her resisted motion.
Vern,
she said. He turned toward her.
Vern, what am I going to do?
Do? His face wrinkled. What do you mean? You'll feel better. Drink some of this coffee.
Vern knows better than anyone how it feels, Bill purred in a deep voice. Don't you, Vern?
Try something to eat. How about some mush? Or some soft-boiled eggs?
I'm not hungry.
Her voice was low and thick.
I don't feel well.
Nothing? Not even some coffee?
Her lips twisted.
I was sick in there.
You were sick in the car, too, but not on anything important. It happens.
Barbara turned away.
We should be taking off pretty soon, Vern said. Bill would appreciate it. He has to get home by nightfall. We hadn't expected to stop this long. If we're going to make schedule, we better start.
Where are we?
Aberdeen. She shook her head. A little place off the highway, about halfway along. We drove all night. At least, Bill did.
It was a good thing I was along, Bill purred.
Barbara turned her gaze on Vern. She had not realized he was so untidy. His tie was gone, and his shirt was unbuttoned at the top. He had not shaved. His skin was dirty and splotched. There were countless little stiff hairs pushing through the skin of his jowls and neck. A green spot of color showed from his coat pocket. His tie. He had put it there.
I guess you don't feel well either,
she said.
I'll live.
Who wants more coffee before we go?
Bill said.
Refills are free here, according to the menu.
The last of his words blurred off. Darkness and fatigue rolled over her. The room faded away. They were walking across a lawn. Everything was dim, indistinct. She could scarcely see. Vern was holding on to her arm. He was saying, "Don't trip." A man loomed up out of the gloom. There was a building of some kind. The man said, "Right here, if you will, please." She was reading something. Was it a telephone book? No, she was not reading it. She was holding it in her hands. The book was heavy. It began to slip away from her, faster and faster. Someone steadied it. Her hand was being moved, guided. The woman was saying to her, "And if you don't see what you need, come over to the office and ask." Vern and the woman went off. She was sitting down, waiting. Where had Bill gone? She tried speaking his name experimentally, but nothing happened. Everything was silent around her, silent and unmoving. She was on her feet. It was light only in some places. All the light was concentrated into tiny knobs, and between there was only darkness. The darkness moved up and down. The lights were drifting past her, flowing back away from her. Then it was light all around, and warm. There was warmth for the first time. She sucked it greedily in. The warmth and light were bringing her to life. She was coming back into existence again, faster and faster. Her insides churned. She was belching. She stopped herself, putting her hands over her face. Presently, she took her hands away, peering out. Vern was sitting on a bed. On the floor beside him was a suitcase. The suitcase was open. Its contents were shirts and socks, ties, things wrapped up. Vern was leaning over, doing something on the floor. She blinked. There were newspapers on the floor around his feet. He was shining his shoes. His hands moved slowly back and forth, right, left, right, left. He had a brush. Suddenly, he looked up at her. "Hello. How do you feel?"
"Not very well."
"Can I get you anything?"
"No."
Presently, she said,
"Maybe some water."
He got up off the bed and padded out of the room. She heard water running. A moment later, he came back with a plastic cup. Through the door, she saw a small bathroom with a shower and washbowl. There were little green soap squares wrapped up on the washbowl. She took the water.
"Where are we?"
"Almost in New York. A little town outside the city. We didn't quite make it."
"Where's Bill?"
"We left him off, 50 miles back. He lives up that way."
"Oh."
She was silent. He touched her arm.
"Are you all right?"
"I'm better. Is my purse here?"
He found it for her. She fumbled in it and found a bottle of aspirin. After she had taken two tablets, she felt a little better.
"How about Penny and Felix?"
she said.
"Do they know where I am?"
"They know you went with us. We told them. Don't you remember?"
"No, I can't remember a lot of things."
"Well, if it makes you feel better, there's a few things I don't remember either."
She smiled wryly. After a while, she got up and walked about the room. In one corner on a wood table was a radio with a coin slot and a plunger. 25 cents for an hour's listening, a sticker read. She looked out the window. It was dark. She could see a concrete ledge. Beyond the ledge were lights. They seemed to be far away.
"Are we up high?"
"Third floor. That's some sort of a town. A little place. I've been here once before, but I don't remember much about it. It was a long time ago." One door led into the bathroom. She examined the other door. It had a latch on it.
It led out into the hall. She did not feel so confused now. Her head was beginning to clear. Except for the nausea, she was almost all right. She touched her skirt. It was wrinkled and dirty, stained. Suddenly, she thought about her things.
My clothes, they're still back at Castle?
Penny said she'd have them shipped to Boston for you. Barbara nodded. She watched Vern. He was sitting on the bed again. He had finished polishing his shoes and had put them off in the corner. He wiggled his toes. He had on bright red socks.
What time is it?
Vern examined his watch. After midnight.
Midnight. 24 hours.
Yes, we did a lot of things. What do you remember? She rubbed her head.
Not very much.
She felt cold suddenly. She stared around at the room, at Vern sitting on the bed. He shifted uncomfortably. He had taken off his shirt and was sitting in his trousers and undershirt. His shoulders were narrow and small. She gasped. She was dazed. What's wrong? Vern murmured.
We're both staying here, together?
That's the general idea. He laughed nervously. It's not so serious. People do it every day. She said nothing. Don't look at me that way. She closed her eyes. Her heart began to pound loudly, as if it were trying to talk. She moved away from Vern, over toward the window again. Outside, she could see the tiny lights, so far off, lost in the immense darkness of night. Were they really lights of some small town, as he had said? Or were they something else? Stars, perhaps. But they did not wink. She turned around. Vern was watching her intently. He was so small and thin, sitting on the bed in his undershirt. She had not felt afraid before, but now she was beginning to become frightened. Vern's face was anxious. Suddenly, she realized, he was terrified. He was afraid she was going to leave. In spite of herself, she smiled. She walked back toward the bed. Vern seemed to draw away from her.
Well?
She murmured. How do you mean that?
I don't know. Everything seems to be happening so fast. I have to get used to it.
He said nothing.
I'm still a little afraid,
she said presently,
but not as much as before.
Afraid of me?
No. I don't know. I'm confused. I can't remember. I've forgotten so many things. I still feel sick. Did I do anything silly, dumb?
Nothing out of the ordinary, Vern pulled himself up. In fact, we didn't realize that you had been affected so much until this morning in the diner. You remember that? She nodded. You were sick in the car. You had sort of gone to sleep, passed out. We couldn't tell very much. You came around pretty groggy.
I remember.
That's about all. Barbara sat down on the edge of the bed.
Vern,
he reached for her hand, but she pulled it quickly away.
Vern, I think I told you I was 24. I'm not. I'm only 20.
His eyebrow lifted. He gazed at her, his face round and owlish, his lips twitching.
That makes a difference, doesn't it?
Sort of. They sat for a long time, neither of them speaking. Finally, Vern sighed and began to move about on the bed. Well, he said, what do you want to do?
It's not very safe under the circumstances.
She hesitated.
We crossed the state line, too, I think. Doesn't that mean something?
He nodded. Yes, it means something.
What should we do?
There was silence. The room had begun to grow cold. The heater had been turned off. Barbara realized all at once that she was beginning to tremble. Her body was trembling all over. She gripped her hands together.
Brr.
She murmured.
It's cold.
Vern nodded. He drooped, sagging in a little heap on the bed. His face was long and sad. Presently, he removed his glasses and put them on the dresser. Barbara leaped up.
Vern!
Yes?
I wish I knew how you felt.
Felt?
About everything. About this, you know?
He started to speak, but then he seemed to change his mind. He rubbed his chin and swallowed. Finally, he looked up.
It's hard for me to say in so many words.
I suppose so.
She hesitated.
It's hard for me, too, to know what to do without being sure.
Sure of what?
I don't know.
She paced slowly across the cold room, her arms folded.
I wish I could tell what you're thinking, how you feel, what this means to you.
She sat down again on the edge of the bed. Someplace far off, a clock struck. Outside in the night, a long way away, a wind had come up. She could hear it moving against the window, rustling in the darkness. She began to take off her shoes, slowly, conscious of Vern's eyes on her. Her heart was thrashing inside her, beating in hard little strokes. She was terrified and excited at the same time. Stage fright, like when she had to make a speech in school. How far away that seemed. She was shaking terribly, from cold and fatigue, and fright. She smiled at him.
I can hardly breathe.
Will you be all right?
I think so.
She took off the other shoe and pushed it against the first. She was cold all over, cold and clammy. Little beads of moisture clung to her body, tiny icy drops against her neck and arms. But she was excited, shaking with awe and terror.
Vern, would you do something for me? Would you turn off the light, please?
He reached up and pulled the light switch. In the darkness, she undressed, her hands awkward, her pulse racing. What would Penny think of her now? If they ever guessed. But of course, they knew. They knew all about such things. She laughed out loud.
What is it?
Vern's voice was very near her.
Nothing.
She felt for the bed in the darkness. Her fingers touched the covers. He moved away to make room for her.
Vern.
Yes?
I hope you'll be patient with me. I've never done anything like this before. Will you be patient and understand?
I will, he said.